Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks.
If you've seen a concert on the Strip, then you probably bought the ticket for it through Ticketmaster or even saw it at a venue affiliated with or owned by promoter Live Nation. Those two companies work in tandem as part of a conglomerate that controls a majority of the Las Vegas concert industry. Last week, a jury decided they act as an illegal monopoly. Nevada is one of 33 states in that antitrust case, which will soon enter another trial to decide on remedies. Those could include Live Nation breaking off Ticketmaster or Ticketmaster lowering ticket fees. The company has said it may appeal such decisions. So how might this all impact the local concert industry and its customers? Paying close attention to this case is John Katsalamidis, entertainment reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. John, appreciate you speaking with us.
How you doing, Paul? Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Why does Live Nation make such a big part of Southern Nevada's entertainment industry?
Well, Live Nation is dominant primarily through its residency headlining exclusive agreements. That's where they are. They control 70% of the overall ticket purchasing market, the live entertainment ticket purchasing market in Las Vegas. And that is because they have exclusive partnerships with several venues. They own House of Blues at Mandalay Bay and Brooklyn Bowl at Link Promenade, and they also have exclusive booking agreements at very busy venues, the Coliseum at Caesars Palace, PH Live at Planet Hollywood, the Venetian Theater, Palazzo Theater, Blue Live Theater at Fountain Blue, and the Pearl at the Palms, although there have been some other bookings inside the Pearl, but they pretty much have control of that venue as well. So when you look at all the shows that roll into those venues that are pretty much, the vast majority are residencies, which is what we describe as multiple shows by the same act in the same theater, and that can be between 4 and up to 20 or more shows, it really adds up. So that's, and in the touring concert environment in Las Vegas, they are on parity with AEG because AEG has T-Mobile Arena and mm-hmm. Allegiant Stadium is open, and there is more parity that way. And also keep in mind, Live Nation books most of the shows at Sphere, which is that is a huge number of tickets every week. So that's why, Live Nation and Ticketmaster, they have an exclusive deal with each other. Live Nation acquired Ticketmaster in 2010, or even a year before that, it was ratified in 2010. So they've been partners for a long time, and that means Ticketmaster has, is a primary seller for all those venues and all those shows that I mentioned. That's why they have, predominantly, powerful in our market, and that's where it all begins.
So besides Ticketmaster, Live Nation, AEG, are there any other companies that compete with those companies here?
Not on any scale. We have some independent bookers. There are some venues. Danny Zalisco, for example, who's an independent booker, has brought shows into the Smith Center and the Westgate. The Smith Center will book itself. But nobody on that scale. And that has been what the concern has been for people who are fighting the Live Nation and Ticketmaster conglomerate. They want to be able to have booking contracts outside of that relationship in all these venues.
So how do you think the news of this hangs over the Las Vegas concert industry?
Well, I think this is the first time that we've seen, no matter which side of this issue you're on, the possibility, the legal possibility is on the table that Ticketmaster and Live Nation could be broken up. And that would be a very big deal. That would affect exclusive contracts at venues for residencies. It would open up all these venues. That is a big deal. But this is going to be a grind, Paul. This is not, Live Nation is not going away. They're going to fight this thing, and they have stated they're going to fight every ruling that is not in their favor as we move forward. And that goes for the penalty phase of this, the retribution phase of this too. They're going to be fighting. So it will be, are you saying, how long is it going to take before we see, tickets to shows at the Coliseum or Sphere drop? And I can tell you it will be probably, I would say, a matter of years. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But there does open up the possibility that we're moving in a direction that the public will be offered lower tickets.
Do you think the casinos that host these Live Nation affiliated venues are concerned?
You know, I can only tell. I don't know if they're really concerned, because I think if you are Caesars Entertainment, you offer and you operate those venues, if you're Fountain Blue and have Blue Life Theater, Venetian, Palazzo, and those venues, I think you're pretty confident that you have facilities that have a track record of attracting superstars, no matter who books them. That's my read on this. I think that you would prefer, if you're at the resort level, to maintain a partnership that you've established that is working for you. You know, whether it's with AEG or Live Nation or whomever, you know, AEG has Encore Theater, for example, and the theater at Virgin, and also Resorts World, you know, and it would be the same thing in those instances too. You prefer to, you know, to have a seamless booking system and ticketing system with whom you are working. But I think logically you'd have to be prepared to say, what if we don't have this, locked in anymore? What if we are looking at free agent, promotion companies and ticket platforms in the foreseeable future? You know, I think that anyone wise would at least be discussing what those options would be if this were to come to fruition and Live Nation and Ticketmaster were to break up.
We've talked, you know, these residencies draw tourists from all over the country, all over the world. You know, do you think tourists care about this, or whether they have to deal with Ticketmaster? Is that something that may be keeping them away?
I don't know if it's, you know, right now Ticketmaster would be, you know, if you're concerned about spending too much money for shows at the Sphere and you go onto the platform and you see the tickets and they're on Ticketmaster, you do have some brand fatigue there. You do act out against, you know, that brand. But I think what consumers are mostly interested in is being able to see a great show at an affordable price, no matter where the platform is. And we're getting to the point where, you know, we have, if you go to a lot of these venues, you can pay down your tickets on a payment plan on a a system such as Klarna, for example. So it's like, you know, buying any other high dollar amenity or possession, you get the option of a payment plan. So you can, you know, a lot of people like that. And if you really want to see a band and you have to pay $1,000 a ticket, you can pay in installments. But it's still, you know, I don't think that is the ideal answer for everybody. You know, I think what people are telling me and what I have thought about is, you know, when we were in a generation earlier and going to concerts, we could afford to go to concerts. Even when I was broke, I could go to concerts, you know, in my 20s. And some of the bands that I was seeing in my 20s that I could afford to see mm-hmm. are those that are probably priced out of the market now. Bands like Journey and the Eagles, I saw in the day. Police, you know, Sting. The list goes on. Kiss. And, I think that's where the really emotional resonance is rooted. It's in that memory. And people think that they have a right to see shows at an affordable price. The answer to that, of course, on top of all of this, Paul, is the market is allowing this. The market demand dictates these prices, whether it's if you see it as unfair or not. That's why, because the Eagles sell out Sphere all the time. Backstreet Boys sell that place out. And what do you say to that? I mean, you know, what's the problem? You know, they drive business in a lot of ways in Las Vegas. Backstreet Boys, I've been told, saved our tourism industry last summer because of their business at Sphere. So, you know, there's no simple path to a solution that everybody agrees on. I'll tell you that.
That's John Katsalamidis, entertainment reporter for the Las Vegas Review Journal. Now I want to bring in Rebecca Hall Allensworth. She's a visiting professor at Harvard Law School who focuses on antitrust. She holds the David Daniels Allen Distinguished Chair in Law at Vanderbilt Law School. Rebecca, thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
This case has attracted a lot of attention, mostly because of the furor for music fans who weren't able to get concert tickets or have paid too much for them. So I want to address two points first. For anyone that could only use Ticketmaster to, say, buy Taylor Swift tickets and then got shut out or saw prices soar suddenly, does any potential remedy address that? And is there any potential scenario where multiple ticketing agencies might be allowed for the same show so people have a choice?
Yeah, so the answer to both those questions is yes, in the long term and indirectly. So there's not going to be a remedy that says that Ticketmaster has to get better at what they do, but there is going to be hopefully a remedy that will open up competition here. And one of the things that we think that competition is good for is not just to drive down prices, but to push people to make better products that work better. And actually, Ticketmaster got big in the 70s and 80s because they were one of the first companies to use technology and use the electronic process to ticket events. And so they were at the cutting edge of technology. They were that way because they faced a lot of competition. And I think the idea with this remedy should be to expose Ticketmaster to competition that puts them and also potentially competitors back on that cutting edge.
Then there's ticket prices. The jury found that Live Nation overcharged fans by an average of about $1.72 per ticket. That's per its calculations. That's how damages will be determined, and they could total up to $450 million per Live Nation estimates. If that amount holds in the remedies part of the trial, would buyers of tickets of Las Vegas shows see that money returned to them in any way?
No. And in fact, this is like just the tip of the iceberg as far as the damages done here. I mean, as far as what the states will collect, it's not the tip of the iceberg. They might collect 450 million, they might collect 700 million. But, you know, that's not actually when you split it up amongst all the states and all the ticket buyers, it's not really that much money. And because this is a suit brought by governments, it's not going to go directly back into the pockets of the people who bought the tickets like it would if it was a class action lawsuit. States can spend the money as they see fit. Usually they spend them on related projects and, you know, consumer protection. But the real, to the extent that the consumers are going to win out here, to the extent that ticket buyers are going to win out, it's going to be long term in a better, more competitive environment. And that's going to require a lot more than even a multi-million dollar award. That's not enough money to really deter a company like Live Nation or Ticketmaster from doing these kinds of things in the future. So there'll have to be something more meaningful imposed here as well.
You know, this is an antitrust case. You've mentioned competition. That is a chief concern for the judge. You mentioned technology a moment ago. What other kind of remedies might allow other players more market share and opportunities than they've managed to get at this point?
Well, the biggest one would be a breakup. You know, if they broke up Ticketmaster from Live Nation, then Ticketmaster would not be able to use the threat of withholding Live Nation acts when negotiating with venues. So a big part of the trial was about these big venues feeling pushed into using Ticketmaster, even though it has a bad reputation. They had to use Ticketmaster for all their ticketing for the whole season because there was this threat, implied or otherwise, that if they didn't, they wouldn't get the big headlining acts that they kind of needed to get through their stadiums to make ends meet. So if you sever the company along those lines, they wouldn't be able to bully it in that way. The hope then is that other ticketing platforms like AXS or SeatGeek would be able to pick off some more of these venues as clients, as customers, and to get market share and to become better, you know, more viable competitors. There's also a possibility of, yes, within the same event, having different ticketing platforms ticketing the same event. I think this is done more in Europe. Of course, the court can't mandate this. The court can't say, thou shalt have multiple vendors, because it can't tell other businesses what to do. But it can tell Ticketmaster in a remedies phase thing, you can't require exclusivity. You can't require it to be all or nothing. And I would expect that to be a part of the remedy as well.
The Department of Justice and a handful of other states have already settled with Live Nation. It's not finalized yet, but some lawmakers are already criticizing it as insufficient. Is there any potential overlap with that settlement and the future remedies stemming from last week's verdict, or are they completely separate cases?
So I think that Live Nation will argue that there's a lot of overlap. Live Nation will argue the settlement that we have entered into with the DOJ covers the anti-competitive problems that the jury found. And so what you should do, judge, is you should just impose that same set of terms on us for the state cases, you know, as for the federal plaintiff. So that's going to be the minimum of what the judge will impose here. I think the judge is much more likely to go further. I think that the politicians that have been criticizing the deal are right, and I think the judge is likely to see it that way and elect to go further. So they're separate in the sense that the judge can do more than what's in those terms.
What expectations do you think music fans in particular need to keep in mind as they read about this case?
Well, I do think we need to go back to the hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars that people will pay for these concerts and emphasize that this is not really a function of the markets at issue here. Yes, Live Nation is a monopolist, the jury so found, and Ticketmaster doesn't face competition in ticketing, and these things are harmful to consumers, and they pay for it in the fees, and they pay for it in their use of the technology. But that does not mean that even if we got the remedy right in this case, that those hundreds or thousands of dollars of ticket prices would come down to, you know, probably what you paid to see Kiss. That's just not likely, and that's because of the overwhelming demand that people have to see these big, once-in-a-lifetime experiences, you know, like the millennials will pay anything to see Backstreet Boys, and the boomers will pay anything to see Bruce Springsteen, and like that's not going anywhere, and antitrust doesn't actually have a lot that it can help with those high prices.
This is in court. We just got the first verdict. Of course, there's going to be appeals, I'm sure. How long before this episode wraps up, and could the market be affected by the decision?
Yeah, I think this is going to be somewhat slow. So, you know, we're going to have another proceeding on the remedy. I'm sure that that and the liability will be appealed. The appeal process could take about a year, and whatever remedies imposed will be stayed during that time, I expect. So you're not going to see any action there. I think that the DOJ settlement may go into effect sooner, but there's also going to be a court hearing about that. So yeah, the gears of justice here grind sort of slowly. And then of course, if they do say break up the company, it'll take time for competition to take over and for those changes to really be seen. So I don't think that consumers can expect much change in the short term.
John, we have about a minute left. We are already seeing ticket discounting here in Las Vegas. Caesars Entertainment just announced $30 to $50 tickets for several of its shows, including two of its residencies. Do you think there's some fatigue in the market setting?
You know, I don't know if I would define it as fatigue necessarily. I think there has been a high saturation for the ticket buying public, especially since Sphere has come online. And I think that the tickets that have been taken out of the market by Sphere and Allegiant Stadium touring shows, and even T-Mobile Arena, which has just celebrated its 10th anniversary a decade ago, none of those venues existed. And the shows we're looking at now that are suffering simply because of there's not enough market density are shows that are, you know, the smaller shows, the residency shows at Caesars Entertainment venues, some headlining shows. You know, I brought up the fact a few weeks ago that Absinthe, which is the juggernaut at Caesars Palace, is, you know, celebrated its 15 years. They've been offering ticket discounts. We've seen Cirque du Soleil, you know, they've been doing this for a while. They've ramped up their discounts, and I think that it's a market adjustment for all these issues.
We'll have to leave it there. John Katsalamidis is an entertainment columnist for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Rebecca Hall Allensworth is a visiting law professor at Harvard Law School. John, Rebecca, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just as a note, Live Nation is among Nevada Public Radio's corporate supporters. We cover them just as we do any other newsmaker, free of influence.